Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're leaving Europe to its arguments, and we're going to Africa, where democracy is leaving, if it's not already left. And what we have is military men, strong men, in Francophone Africa. I'll stay with that. This is the Sahel, the desert edge, the ocean of the desert and the edge of it, the Sahel, the shoreline. And the nations in question are Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali. In addition, we could add the Central African Republic, which has seen the Wagner Group, now called Africa Corps, since 2018. However, most recently, the development pointed out is that Francophone Africa has disinvited Paris, gone, moving out. France is losing its stronghold in Africa, and it was a benefit to France. This is not something where it was subsidized entirely. There are gold fields there. There are lots of natural resources. Moving in is Russia with Africa Corps. Moving in with Russia, at least in one instance in Niger, is the National Petroleum Company of the People's Republic of China. Gregory? We've talked of ECOWAS breaking up. It looks like the final vote has left the room. There's no longer any decision to make. Is Russia winning this, or is there more chaos ahead?
Well, essentially, the major global powers have diminished their influence on all of Africa to a dramatic, almost unbelievable degree over the past 10 years. Right now, the People's Republic of China, which had, if you like, walked into a vacuum and started handing out money for the Belt and Road Initiative, has run out of money. So they've run out of influence. So yes, they're trying to do deals where they can of a commercial nature, and some of that's working. Russia has definitely gone in by providing security support for a number of governments, Niger, Burkina Faso, Mali, particularly because of the gold deposits and other deposits there. They are working extremely well there. Those three Sahelian states have left the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, to create the Alliance of Sahel States. And it's quite possible that they might be joined in that by Chad, for example, which is in the process of easing back slightly from Paris. And you'll start to see other ECOWAS countries, again, failing to rebound in support of ECOWAS, like Cameroon, for example, Ghana, and so on. What we're seeing now is the breakup of transnational bodies where the transnational groupings do not address the needs of individual countries. And the same will happen to the African Union or the Organization of African States, for example, and other similar bodies. So we've got now a world in which transnational or globalist bodies, including the United Nations, are absolutely at their weakest since World War II. The question is how long they will continue to exist, even in name, but with declining impact and effect, because right now people are saying, well, these bodies are constraining us from achieving what we want. And if you take the Trump decision to review all of U.S. foreign aid, which was a result of the part of the U.S. Involvement in starting the United Nations, all of this leads to say governments have to find their own way. African countries are going to rediscover their nationalities in their own way. A lot of them will break up or change their borders because countries like Nigeria have like 750 different ethnic groups which resulted from 750 sovereign entities of the past. So all of these things are starting to happen. Africa is in a great transitional mode. It's not necessarily away from democracy, and a lot of the military coups have been designed to preserve democratic, if you like, rights and fundamentals and law and order, which the civilian governments had abandoned because of corruption. So, democracy is going to be configured differently, and it is being configured differently around the world. Africa is going to be in for a very, very hard time. You've still got some global superpower rivalry there. We just saw, for example, Beijing put pressure on the South African government in the past few days to close down Taiwan's representative office in Pretoria because the South African government changed its diplomatic recognition from Taiwan to the People's Republic of China some years ago. And now we see that Beijing is trying to force that to another level. The question is, do the Africans even care if the PRC is not giving them large chunks of money? Do they care about the US and the UK and the European Union if they don't give them large chunks of money? And the answer is no. If you're not going to help us, get out of the way is the thing. African solutions to African problems is the new cry, which was started about 20 years ago by then Nigerian President Ibrahim Babangida. So it's going to be a rough period ahead for Africa, not just because of the Africans, but because the world is walking away from them. The world is looking for other areas from which they can extract essential raw materials, some of which will still have to come from Africa. But right now, there's a little coercive capability that the West has, or China has for that matter, or Russia, in the civil war in Ethiopia, the civil war in Sudan, and essentially the breakdown of law and order in many other countries.
Nigeria's the prize, Gregory. Is it vulnerable to, say, the Russian method, which is first the Africa Corps and then the diplomats, or is it independent?
It's fairly independent because it's a large population, largest population in Africa, 230 million or so. It's the largest economy in Africa at literally, half $1 trillion in GDP. Not great by world standards, but it's the biggest in Africa. You have a sense where the Nigerian military is also large and, in a sense, stoic, capable in some areas. But what the Africa Corps of the Russians can do for them is very little indeed. So I think Nigeria still has a big stick to wave. The president of Nigeria, Bola Tinubu, is largely in the same situation that President Biden was in for the last 4 years of not being fully in control of government, which means that you don't have decisive government. President Tinubu actually caused a lot of the problems with Niger after the coup there in July 2023 by saying he was going to use ECOWAS to invade Niger and restore a democratic government. Well, that was a physical impossibility. As I say, as big as the Nigerian military is, it could not invade neighboring Niger because it would have to get through the northwestern Nigerian population, which is the same ethnicity and the same kinship with those people in Niger, Hausa and Fulani people. And so that would mean that a land invasion would not be possible. So basically, Tinubu showed that he did not have the credibility, the prestige, to coerce a change in Niger. And when that became evident, the whole of the coercive capability of ECOWAS in Nigeria collapsed immediately.
I was struck, Gregory, in reading about the Francophone countries weakening. There's no mention of the United States anywhere. Are we all out of the continent, gone?
Pretty much. There's some attempts to retain friendships in, for example, Morocco. The United States would also like to retain friendships in Egypt, obviously, because that's the gateway power to the Suez Canal and Red Sea lanes of the Eastern Mediterranean. So, you know, but how much power does the U.S. have in pushing Egypt into a certain direction? Right now, the Egyptians are worried about the growing threats of Turkey under President Erdogan, because Turkey is making these moves to start a war with Israel and to threaten Egyptian interests in the Eastern Mediterranean gas fields and the like. So basically, the U.S. has not done anything to bolster Egypt and Israel in that respect to this point. I think we'll see a change in that. But right now, what we're seeing is that, for example, the United States is being deliberately forced by the absolute threats and actions of the Turks to make Washington choose between Turkey and Israel. And that's not a good sign, because there's no good choice to be made between them. You want them both if the United States is to reassert influence and goodwill and trade and control of the seaways against the Russians or the Turks.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We turn to our favorite moment of the week, the King Charles Report. And here's a quiz. What are we going to talk about? From this day to the ending of the world.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.